Have you ever showed up to help, to serve, to lead, and yet the way you showed up created resistance instead of impact? Sometimes we assume rejection means opposition, but the truth is, sometimes it simply means we did not understand the space we entered. So, the issue is not always the people. Sometimes it's how we showed up. Hello and welcome to Truth Talk about life and leadership solutions. I help leaders like you to align your personal life, family, and career in a way that brings peace and true success. My name is Ijeoma Anyanwu. In my previous episode, I spoke about what happens when you are available but not received. We talked about the downside of familiarity and rejection and how Jesus himself experienced this in his hometown. We also spoke about what to do when you make yourself available but are not received. Today, I have 7 things I want to share with you that can make you receptive in your space or in any new space. When God gives you an assignment, whether it's in marriage, parenting, or career, he also expects you to apply wisdom in how you carry it out. You see, every space has a culture. Every group has values. Every family has a way of doing things. So when you enter a space without this understanding and immediately try to make an impact, people will resist you. Not because you are wrong, but because you are unfamiliar. Interesting, isn't it? I call this the other side of familiarity. You see, familiarity isn't always bad. People listen to people they are familiar with because familiarity builds trust. The more someone knows you, the more they can trust you. When someone knows you over time, they feel safer receiving your ideas because your character and intentions are more predictable. When people are familiar with you, it creates a sense of connection and relatability. People are more open when they feel understood and seen by the person speaking to them. So, familiarity reduces uncertainty. When people already know your values, tone, and heart, they spend less time and energy trying to figure you out and more energy hearing what you are saying. And that's why one thing you can do as you reveal yourself this year, especially if you're in a new space or you are in a space where you were not so involved last year, apply wisdom. Wisdom asks, who are these people? What matters to them? How can I apply myself to serve in this place? That's not compromise, you may be thinking. It's maturity. As a leader, you shouldn't only be interested in your vision being fulfilled. That vision is important. But you should also want to go about it with wisdom so that the vision is received. That's the purpose for the vision, for it to be fulfilled. Maybe your new church, your new organization, all of those places have values. They have modes of operation. And those things are important. You need to apply wisdom. But let's pause here for a bit. I want to invite you for my one-on-one life and leadership cross-cultural coaching. It's a faith-based, culturally intelligent coaching experience designed specially for those living and serving in cultures different from theirs. This coaching will help you to build cultural intelligence, which will help you to understand the people you are serving better, beyond just language, customs, and other visible behaviors. This coaching will also position you to navigate cultural tensions with grace, clarity, and confidence so that you can adopt your ministry approach without compromising your values. It will also help you overcome frustration, confusion, and burnout, which is a reality in cross-cultural service. It will strengthen your emotional resilience for long-term ministry and career. You will lead, disciple, and connect with people from other cultures effectively and authentically. But let me say this. This is not counseling. It's not mentoring, and it is not consultation. So I'm not coming as an expert. You are the expert in your life and in your field. I come alongside you to support you, to encourage you, and to help you be accountable so that you can confidently take the necessary steps that will enable you to maximize your potential and see massive results. So if you're a missionary serving in another country, or you are serving among different people groups or cultures, this is a coaching experience that you do not want to ignore. If you're a pastor leading a multicultural congregation, or a minister who is already serving or who is sensing a call to cross-cultural evangelism, discipleship, or leadership, this coaching will help you. If you are married to someone from another culture, or you are working in another country and struggling to connect because of cultural differences, you will find this coaching very, very useful. It will be a safe place for you to think and relaunch. But maybe you belong to none of these, but you just need support as you seek to grow more in your life and in your career. This coaching will help meet that specific need. Why do all of this matter? Your calling, your life, your career, your relationships are important. Your calling is too important to allow cultural spots to hinder the work. Your assignment is too divine to be carried out with unnecessary frustration. And your ministry, relationships, and career are too valuable not to be equipped with the wisdom, tools, and insight that will help you serve with excellence. Now, as humans, few things strengthen us more than relating with someone who understands our journey, its joys, its challenges, and its hidden battles. I have been where you are, and I'm still treading that path. And that's why it will be an honor for me to walk with you as you fulfill the mission that God has called you to and committed you to. So if you are that person who is ready to grow, adapt, minister, or make a difference with renewed clarity and confidence, visit my website at www.ijeomaemanyao.com. I love to start the journey with you. Now back to our talk. A lot of times, what we call rejection is simply a lack of preparation and sensitivity. Not spiritual failure, not demonic resistance, just lack of preparedness. There is always an assignment before the assignment. For example, as missionaries, before we enter a field, that is a country, city, or village, we first do what we call field survey, the kind that Moses did when he sent out the 12 spies to Canaan. And he sent them to the Negev, the southern country, and gave them instructions to go into the hill country. They were to find out some things about the land. They were to see what the land is like. They were to find out who the people were who live in the land. Were they strong, weak? Were they few or many? Was the land a good land? Were the cities fortified, or were they just open camps? Was the land productive, or was it a lean land? What other resources were in the land? He also asked them to bring fruit from the land. So just like Moses, these are the things we want to find out. After these findings, we go back with that information to make further plans for final entry into that tribe or people. And after arriving among the people, another phase begins, where we begin to learn how to live among the people. Now, all of this is done so that as a missionary, your entry is successful and meaningful. Now, this strategy can be applied anywhere, whether you're thinking of getting married, moving to a new country, joining a new church, or a new organization. You must do your homework, the assignment before the assignment, because what you have may be needed, but the way you go about it may cause you to either be received or rejected. Now, here are seven things that will give you acceptance among the people, or in that organization, or in that space. One, do your research. Yes, learn, observe, ask questions, and listen. Don't leap without first looking. Find out who are these people that I've come to be in the midst of, I want to be in the midst of. Do your research. Listen, observe, ask questions. Don't leap without looking. Find out about the people. Know their philosophies. Know their values. Know what direction are they moving. The second thing, be humble. Be teachable. Very important. Many times we enter a space with the mindset of, oh, I have this thing I have is so great compared to what they have, that we are not even willing to learn from what they have. We are so proud. Many times so arrogant. I speak as another mission. I speak from experience. Yes, God has invested us with so much. But the downside of that is that sometimes we don't appreciate that others also have something. We think that we are the ones with everything. Remember, those people you are going to live among or work among, that country, they also have good things. Recognize that and be humble. Be ready to learn. Okay? Be ready to learn. Become a part of them. Paul says, I become all things to all men so that I may be able to win some. So learn the language of the people. Understand and respect their culture. Dress like them as much as you can. For example, Hudson Taylor, the British missionary to China, whose aim was to be able to reduce prejudice, cultural barriers, and connect better with the local people, got into that land, dressed like the people, wore ponytail like them. He looked just like the people. Of course, he was received, and he was able to, over time, make an impact. Of course, he was speaking the language of the people. So be ready to become like the people as much as you can. Love the people. Number four, love them. Accept them. Eat their food. One of the things we learn as missionaries is that when you go to a people, accept what they give you. You went out to just visit them. Whatever they give you, accept it. They give you water, no matter what the water looks like. Bless it and drink it. When you do that, you are telling them, I accept you. When you accept them, they will eventually accept you. Now, yours may not be in the mission field, but where in your organization that you are joining, Don't just keep yourself away from the people because you feel like you are superior. Yes, you may have come with a superior idea. You may have come with, you know, things that are better. But first, love them. Accept them. First, listen to their own ideas. Okay? Listen and learn. Ask, why do you do it like this? Find out why they do things the way they do things. Let there be a sincere interest in what they are doing. Accept them. And if it's food, even though you don't like it, they are having a little function, go there and eat what they provide. You don't need to finish the plate, but be ready to just take a bite. They will appreciate that you are trying to be like them. You are trying to be a part of them. Remember, you have something to offer. So you are positioning yourself to be able to offer that. Number 5, honor the voices that matter in that group. Now, in every group, there are people who may not be the apex leader, but their voices matter. Whenever there's a meeting, when they speak, people listen. Look out for those people and respect them. No matter what they look like, they may not be as smart as you, but respect them because the people respect them. The people listen to them. And let them know, let them see that you actually respect even the people themselves, those leaders, you know, in quotes. Like I said, they may not be the apex. Among the people, they are the leaders they recognize. Honor them, respect them, listen to them. When they give you an idea, it may not be what, just listen. Over a while, those people start to see you as, you know, people, someone who is trying to connect with them, everyone else. And, you know, you won't know when they will start asking you questions. And sometimes my husband has this thing he does. If he's in a group, he's not the kind of person who will just shoot up your hand and start talking, but he will just drop notes and pass it to the leader. And the leader will share that. He may not necessarily say, oh, Brother Patrick said. No, he will just say it. And that's what matters. It is not who the credit doesn't have to come. Remember, the aim is there is something that needs to be done here that I believe God wants to have done. So I don't need to have my face all over it. As long as it is passed across, as long as it is achieved, that's the goal. So look out for those people and whatever you can do to be able to get their acceptance, their approval, so that your message, your voice, you know, can bring the impact that it needs to bring. Please do that. Number 6, observe the hierarchy there. Okay, know the different leaders. Different people need to meet for different things to be done. Just follow. Don't come with, I have this great idea, and you're just jumping everyone and you want to get up to the top. Please don't do that, okay? Be humble about it, okay? If the other person may not look that important, but if that's the hierarchy, follow it until you get the platform to do what you need to do. It may not be the first year, it may not be the second year. Be patient. If the Lord has sent you there, be patient to deliver what it is. And that brings us to number 7, contribute. Now that you've gone through all these 6 steps, it's now time to contribute, okay? Be humble about it, be open about it, contribute as much as God gives you the opportunity. Make your contribution, make a difference in that space, okay? Be a blessing in that space. So doing these things will make it easier for you to be received. Now, there will always be those who don't care to know you or what you bring, no matter what you do. Just like in the case of Jesus, what did he do in his hometown? They were just not ready. So there will always be those group of people. What do you do when you've done everything? Ignore them. Focus on what needs to be done. Focus on those who are listening to what you have brought. Focus and keep delivering to those group of people. Hopefully, after a while, some of those people will keep coming to join, but there will be some who may never come over. Don't let that distract you. Okay? Remember that you've brought something important that needs to be delivered. Don't allow yourself, your pride, to stop it. Your delivery matters. Your strategy matters. Timing matters. So do everything you can do. Follow through to these steps, because when your wisdom and your knowledge and the right strategy come together, reception will increase. So, in which areas of your life are you available to serve at this moment, but you are experiencing resistance or lack of reception? And what may the Lord be wanting you to discern or adjust in this season? What steps can you take to begin to readjust yourself so that you and what you bring are received? Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for these words of encouragement. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for wisdom that comes from you. The scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask from above, the Father in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Father, we ask that you grant wisdom to your son, to your daughter, Lord, as they listen. Thank you for the 7 points that I've shared in this episode. Father, we ask for wisdom to apply them in their different situations. And as they apply, Holy Spirit, thank you for creating the platform for them to deliver what you've put in their hearts, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for making the atmosphere conducive for growth, for maturity, for fruitfulness, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that one person who says, I've already made a mess. I don't know how this can be mopped up. Lord, I ask for restoration. I ask, Jesus, as they begin to apply these 7 steps, Jesus, or these 7 tips, Lord, that it will open fresh doors for them to begin to rebuild and gain back, oh Father, that trust and ultimately the platform that they need to deliver what you've invested in them. Thank you, Father, for doing more than we've asked. In Jesus' name, amen. If today's talk has helped you, please share this episode with another leader, parent, or your spouse. Also, remember to like and comment. I would love to hear from you. So until my next episode, bye-bye for now.